This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Real life is scarier than anything we can dream of, and we dream such frightening things. Sci-fi and Scream, Be Afraid, Be Very Afraid, on Joy 94.9.
And this is episode number 83. Pull the strings, pull the strings. It's all about super marionation, the puppets that pulled us along when we were young, and maybe still young at heart. The fantastical, jaw-dropping world of the Andersons, Jerry and Sylvia Anderson, that is. And that's what is in store for tonight's episode number 83 here on Sci-Fi and Scream. So welcome all to Sci-Fi and Scream, and thanks again to Keza and TJ from White Noise for another brilliant show. Now, of course, I'm sure some of you know that was the Thunderbirds. Maybe you did, maybe you didn't, but that's a superb piece of music, the Thunderbirds, and that was done by the wonderful Prague Philharmonic Orchestra. I must say, they've done a sterling job, and that's from a cult TV CD that I have here. And it does bring me another thrill, and the thrill is having my special guest here, Vasco Myers Esquire. It's a thrill to have you here. Welcome to Sci-Fi and Scream.
Thrice nay. It's my thrill to be here. Thank you for allowing me into your special sci-fi space.
Special tonight. Space from space. Outer space. Mm. Here we are. Ah. So welcome back to Sci-Fi and Scream. Now, it's great to have you here to help me follow the thread and pull the threads.
Yes.
We can be...
Pull the strings.
And for those who don't know, that is a reference to the wonderful one, Glenn or Glenda, the director Ed Wood, who did Plan 9 from Outer Space.
That's right.
Of course.
How can we forget those tacky sci-fi classics?
They are, with the trees that fall over and
painted
the
paper plates not aeroplanes.
UFOs.
Thank you.
Were they paper plates?
His girlfriend painted them in the privy of their kitchen.
Ex-girlfriend.
Yes.
Later.
Well, that's a whole show on its
own. An episode we must do one day.
I'm there.
He's here. Well, he is. Vasco's here.
I am.
And on tonight's show on Sci-Fi and Scream. I don't know why, but if you are going to Armageddon this weekend, which is another convention that's coming up, a very big, popular one, the people from The Lone Gunman, which was one of Chris Carter's spin-offs, are going to be appearing.
Oh.
There you go.
Very exciting.
Short-lived TV series, but nonetheless.
Seem to be quite a few little things happening.
A lot of little things we can talk about a bit later.
Yes, all right.
Beautiful, beautiful. And I'm looking at you and thinking, beautiful, beautiful.
Naturally, and of course.
Of course I am.
What else would you be thinking looking
because
at?
Because we're going to, yes, look at Super Marionation.
Indeed.
What it was called.
Indeed.
Oh. Now, before you do start.
Here we go.
Tell us a little bit about this track.
Well,
Fireball.
This is Fireball, and it was, I'll never forget my first time, like lying spent on the floor and naked after someone's peeled away my hitherto veil of innocence, wrenching open a portal to a whole new dimension. My eyes widened and rolled back as if in seizure. My body rigid. Ooh. I was astonished that anything like this was even remotely achievable. I'm talking about not only Fireball, Sonia, I'm talking about Supercar, Fireball XL5, Stingray, Thunderbirds, everyone knows, Captain Scarlet and the Mysterions.
And these are Joe Sylvia 90. And Jerry did these.
And the Secret Service. They certainly did, all employing a process called supermarionation. Joysters, if you crave action. Adventure, danger, stealth, romance, heroism, car chases, thrills, chills, and explosion. Then Jerry and Sylvia Anderson's Super Marionation is where it's at for you.
I used to love the way they would cut away from the puppet heads and characters.
They have actually
to real hands.
To real hands. I know.
Doing the driving.
You weren't
or whatever.
Quite meant to notice that, but you do. There have been people that have imitated the process. Most recently, the two 100th episode of Stargay SGI featured a segment done in the Super Marionation style. Now, this dynamic duo of Jerry and Sylvia Anderson, they actually birthed a series of children's shows unlike anything seen before or since, Sonia.
Yes, I can believe that, apart from Team America.
Apart from Team America, which I think was a homage, really.
It was,
because
yes.
There was a very Lady Penelope-esque like character.
And who can forget? I mean, I just thought it was brilliant. It did hark back to that.
I like the bit. It's a standout favourite, and I seem to remember it all the time. Puppets were humping. Do you remember that bit?
No, I don't. Oh, vaguely.
Team America, and
didn't explode.
They didn't have any genitals, which was quite interesting. They were kind of just pushing humping
it was
together.
It was family viewing, wasn't it?
Anyway,
to your.
I digress.
You do.
Do forgive
Doesn't
me.
Doesn't help when I'm talking.
No, well. Let's just keep talking then, because it is radio. Super Marionation, whereby skillful science deceived the eye and nothing was as it appeared to be.
And Super Marionation is a portmanteau of super and marionette. And animation.
Exactly, exactly.
It's a puppetry technique devised in the 60s by AP Films.
That's right.
Okay. And it was used extensively by Jerry and Sylvia Anderson for Thunderbirds, as you mentioned. But I believe that it was coined, what I've discovered, it was coined by Jerry Anderson in imitation to Dynamation by Ray Harryhausen.
That's
stop
right.
Motion technique.
A little interesting bit of trivia. Jerry Anderson actually didn't like puppets, and still to this day, doesn't like puppets.
So they're still
he
picking.
He desperately wanted to do live action things, but the puppets came along and...
From where?
From his imagination? From the inner depths of his psyche, obviously bursting with creativity. The puppets came along and people that were making live action movies were actually using the Andersons to do their sequences of explosions and things like, because they were so good at making models, you see.
I see.
Well, correctly mentioned, the stars of Super Marionation are indeed man-made puppets that had become and have and still are well-loved throughout the world. They were fashioned from fiberglass and made almost alive by painstaking artistry. Super Marionation brought the age-old puppetry art... The art of puppetry, Sonia, truly into the 20th
century. It did,
century.
And to life. They were so real, and they had real personalities.
And they could speak, these puppets of tomorrow.
They did. And they
just like human beings.
Today. And I'm going to say this word before we go to our
Especially
first break.
Human beings on some sort of strange drug.
No, that's a long word. That's a sentence, actually. But no, I'm going to say this word, and we'll come back to it in a moment or two.
Yes.
Solenoid. Solenoid. No, can't say anything
I'm
more than that.
I'm excited about that.
No, I'm excited.
I'm tethered with excitement.
You are. I'm pulling your string as we speak.
Pull the string.
We'll be back shortly. This is Sci-Fi and Squeam.
It is.
And we're doing puppets tonight. Super Marionation with Vasco Myers and myself. Stay tuned on Joy 94.9.
Hi there, this is Anna Silk, and I play Bo on Lost Girl. And you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Hi, I'm Dilip Brown, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9. Get it.
Get it indeed. get it. That was Dilip Rao, of course, who's most famous for being a mad scientist in films like Inception. But anyway, bit of more digression there. Oh, I'm loving this.
Oh, it's groovy.
Is this Stingray?
I think it's Joe 90.
I think you're right.
Now, listen, let's recap a little bit. Let's back up. A magnet was fixed to the back of the heads of these little puppets.
Oh. This is solenoid.
Yes. Now, solenoid. They received electric impulses which moved the automaton's lips in perfect sync to the words they were speaking. So even though they still had like the strings, and in some scenes you can see those black strings moving around.
I always ignored those.
Well, I did wonder how their lips... Yeah, I did too. They just took away from
the
magic.
No, I'm just going to ignore them.
But their lips seemed to... And I used to wonder, well, how do their lips move? You know, because you can't see a hand shoved in the back of their head. So it was a little electronic receiver, which I think for 1960 was quite
groovy. It's a coil, actually. It's a coil that's wound.
There you go.
and I couldn't relate to this, and a tightly packed helix. Now, in physics term, that's science people, science, the term solenoid refers to a long, thin loop of wire, often wrapped around a metallic core, which produces a magnetic field when an electric current is passed through it.
IUDs.
I am thinking those too.
But why did I think that?
Maybe it's a generational thing.
What type of mind have I got?
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure. Anyway, the complete...
So they create a controlled magnetic field. So that was very useful for getting the... And did you know at the beginning of the era of super marination, the heads were very big. But then later on, moving through to
they
stingray,
became,
smaller because they put the solenoids, that's, magnet things in the chest cavity. So it was like their heart.
And there are quite... a lot of characters within that family of super marionation. It's quite amazing. When I was doing my research for this, it was actually...
All of 10 minutes worth.
Well, it's 10 minutes out of my life I'll never get back. Thank you very much. I was thinking, it's just amazing the level of detail. I mean, these things were perfect down to the very last detail. They were then, once they had the little electronic gizzos fitted to them, they were handed to like expert puppeteers who brought the dolls to life on 60s televisions and still to this very day. Now, back in the day, Sonia, teams...
What day is that?
That long, many decades, many
before
moons
Tuesday,
ago.
Before Tuesday the 18th.
Before Tuesday the 18th, in fact. Back in the day, teams of nearly 100 technicians,
goodness,
film persons and artists were kept fully occupied by Jerry and Sylvia and Sylvia Anderson's enterprise, occupied producing a different 60-minute film every week right up until 68, 69.
Did they ever get electric shocks? I'm just wondering. Sorry.
Were
the puppets
made? They were made of fiberglass.
Ah, yes. So they probably would be grounded and quite safe, I should mention.
I don't know. There was plenty of water and electricity in those little models sometimes, you know, oceans and things exploding. It must have been. But what fascinates me
is
more than back then, I suppose, because I'm a little bit older, I just think everything those things used had to be created and made to scale. They had up to 100 artisans producing a 60-minute show. They couldn't do that today.
It's too expensive.
The cost would just blow out. Now, each episode, as I say, done using perfectly scaled models. Everything joysters, from atomic airliners right through to puppet-sized props, costumes. But the thing I really liked was it had a purposefully scored accompanying soundtrack to each show.
And, which brings me to the next part. I'm going to play again from the wonderful.
The wonderful, wonderful world.
Excuse us.
We're so excited. We can barely get the words out. It's super marionation.
It is. It's definitely something to do with the imagination. And this is Captain Scarlet and the Mysterons.
Please.
I always thought it was the Mysterions, but that's
I pronounce it the Mysterions.
Now, the composer is wonderful Barry Gray. I think he composed all of the Andersons' wonderful soundtracks.
And the soundtracks are pretty groovy.
But in this case, this is a cover
done
by our friends, the wonderful
Dolly Parton.
Prague Philharmonic Orchestra, but you knew that. So here we go. Here's a little bit of Barry Gray with his friends.
I might accompany them on my oboe. I'll just get that out.
And this is Captain Scarlet and the Mysterons. You're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
A moment or two more, and you will be the first live Earth people ever to enter a celestial ship.
This is Paul Cornell on Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Hi, this is Oscar Hillstrom, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Returning, Sci-Fi and Squeam returns here, and I'm joined with Vasco, of course, and we're doing everything we can to put the puppets back in power. And I'm not sure if we've been very successful, but
now,
we are trying.
You mentioned earlier Team America. That was actually... Oh, I love this song. That was actually Team America World Police, and it was made as a tribute to the Thunderbirds.
By the South Park guys.
But they were very naughty. They called it Super Crappy Mate, which was meant to parody what they called the silliness of marionettes. Now, I don't think
marionettes... But they made a whole movie out of it, so they must love it.
Yeah, I don't think marionettes are silly. I beg to differ.
That's Trey Stone, and what's the other fella's name?
What can you expect from someone that wore a J-Lo Versace dress to the Academy Awards 1 year? God bless them.
So we've got Armageddon this week, everybody. So that's 22nd to 23rd. And then after that, on October the 30th, you've got this one. And it is A Warehouse in Eureka. It's a play on words because it's Warehouse 13. All the folks from that are coming over, most of them. And the people from the other sci-fi TV show also on the Sci-Fi Network.
It's a veritable Eureka. Plethora of existential.
It is, and
extraterrestrial.
You can meet
events.
Your favourite agent, Latimer.
I'm agog at the choice.
I'm wondering too. Eddie McClintock. Eddie McClintock's going to be there.
Is he?
Yes.
God bless him.
He's
God bless
a dear
Eddie.
Boy. We call him Agent Latimer.
Now, time for a flashback. Put on
Don't
your
forget,
space
wait a second,
suits.
Wait a second.
Oh, hang
email
on.
Address.
I got all excited.
You did. Got carried away, and you will be in a second.
I preempted you.
Now, you were so saying something
now,
certainly
heading
special.
Back to 1960, way before apps even existed. The place, Sonia, London, England. Supercar evidenced the debut of super marionation.
And what was Supercar?
Supercar was a black and white little, it was
TV
first
show.
Jerry and Sylvia Anderson.
It's a geriatric.
Well, they are now. the first
who pulls their strings?
Jerry, no one anymore, I don't think.
Dear.
Well, I don't know. Maybe. There are a few fetishists out there that like wrinkly
and
sex.
Nurse.
Anyway, I digress yet again. Supercar evidenced the debut. I'm going to get this out. Debut of Super Marionation, an electronic system that made marionettes, as we have said time and again, appear more lifelike. During 61... the Andersons established AP Films, as you mentioned earlier, an organisation that proved to be a world leader, Joysters, in the field of super marionation. Now, Jerry and Sylvia licensed a huge race.
We were going to say licensed to kill.
They were. They were licensed to kill.
Because there was a James Bond influence there too, wasn't there? But we'll talk about that.
Well, it's Lady Penelope.
Yes,
was
I want to
created
talk about her later.
As the female James Bond. She was very ahead of her time. Mm. But anyway, they licensed a huge range of toys, books, magazines and related ephemera, the originals of which are worth quite a lot of money these days. So if you take a little walk through eBay, you'll find virtual walk through eBay. Well, yes, you can't walk through it. Anyway, early 60s witness other revolutionary Super Marionation projects. Sonia, 62, the futuristic space adventure Fireball XL5. Ooh. Then the seminal for Thunderbirds, of course, from 63 to 64, Stingray, which was the first British children's series filmed in colour. Now, that happened in...
Before Doctor Who.
Before... No, Doctor Who had already started.
Not in colour.
No, oh, well, no. God, no. He was still very much black and white.
Wasn't he?
Happened in 64.
He had strings, though, I'm sure.
Then, somewhere, in 67, which, by the way, was the same year that Gerry Anderson Jr. came into the world.
Oh,
so did Captain
poppet.
Scarlet. And
I said
now,
poppet.
The Mr. Rons. Newborns, they can't hold up their little heads, you know. They need
to
be
supported.
So you
think you had a solenoid put in there?
I don't know. I haven't seen him in interviews, so I can't say. But he seems coherent.
He exists.
Mm. Anyway, Captain Scarlet and the... Now, Mysterons, Mysterions, if you want to SMS in and let us know the correct pronunciation, because I don't know. Now, they hit the TV series in the 60s. Very groovy and sexy Joe 90. I thought he was quite attractive, but a lot of people weren't turned on by Joe 90.
The first puppet nerd. Do you think he was the first puppet nerd?
Yeah, but he was sexy.
Before Brains?
But he was sexy. No, because
you didn't
he
like Brains
well,
and
he,
Thunderbirds.
Brains was before Joe 90. Joe 90 came in 68. He was quite late.
Okay, he was quite late.
And Thunderbirds, really, I was surprised because they seemed to went on and on and on and on. But they only lasted from 63 to 64. So the production time the show wasn't in production for that long, but it seemed to be for years and years. Yes, Joyce, to say pulpy plots.
Oh, dear.
Retro-styled rockets.
Are they your soul?
Politically incorrect characters and situations. The FAB world of Super Marionation has it all. Now, Let's listen to Sylvia Anderson, shall we? Who shares her thoughts about the recent live-action version of Thunderbirds. Now, Sylvia did create Lady Penelope.
Here she is.
Here she
from
is.
The fans and from other people connected with the series, which I won't be named by me, who weren't fair to it. And I think they did a very good job. So about the future, I don't know, is the answer. I don't know.
We can only continue to enjoy the wonderful series you've already given us. Thank you so much for your time today. We're going to let you go and meet even more fans, and just it's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you very much. I've enjoyed
it. I'm James Griffin from the Kiwi show The Almighty Johnson. You're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream here on Joy 94.9.
Oh, she is divine. She sounds like Lady Penelope,
well,
that was old,
it's
too.
It's remarkable. Well, her mother was a dressmaker, and she used to design all the Lady Penelope clothes. Ooh. And she used to have matching outfits made, because when she had to do personal appearances for the Thunderbirds and take Lady Penelope with her, they'd appear in matching outfits. And, of course, Lady Penelope was very sophisticated. She used to smoke. She had,
which is bad, people, bad.
Well, she's probably got a carcinogenic little plastic lung in there somewhere now.
Oh, you're trying to turn me off.
On gimp More sex. Off. Gimp sex. Some people are into that. The helplessness of it all, apparently. I don't know. I read it in a DSM-6 once.
Oh, I don't know. Is that another puppet show?
I digress.
But I've got some Lady Penelope here, actually.
Oh, you have?
Yes. I've got Lady Penelope and her best, her most loyal, trusting servant.
Parker.
It's very... politically correct.
Well, thank God.
Having a servant. But here she is. Here's
her manservant.
Here's Lady Penelope and Parker from the Thunderbirds, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy and 94.9.
I'll just settle back with my hot cocoa.
Oh, that's lovely. Can you fetch my slippers, please, Vasco?
I will.
Hi, Pollyanna McIntosh. You're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Yes, what a beautiful voice, both of them. Yes, Sylvia Anderson, who played Lady Penelope Crichton...
Jones.
I think it's Ward. We better look that up.
But Jones sounded good.
It did. It sounded
and
a bit...
And it sprung to mind
it
first.
It sprung
so I
from
said
you,
it.
Didn't it?
It sprung
from... And
well. Now,
that was Pollyanna McIntosh with that lovely tag.
Now, Marcus from South Melbourne has sent in an SMS. Oh. Tintin, what's up with her? What or who was she really doing on Tracy Island?
This is the Thunderbirds, Tintin.
This is the Thunderbirds, Tintin. She was a little an Asian character that decorated Tracy Island. I don't know quite what she did either. She just kind of fluffed around, didn't she?
She made cocktails,
so,
I believe.
Marcus from South Melbourne, I don't know what
we
Tintin
don't
did.
Know what
she was decorative, and she went. She did go on an adventure with Lady Penelope once into the snowy Alps, and Penelope had to pretend to be a cocktail singer. It was quite funny.
Cliff Richard also appeared on the Thunderbirds.
Yes, and the Shadows.
And the Shadows.
Yes. Several times.
The performance was a bit wooden.
Just a touch, a bit far, bit
just
plastic.
A bit Dutch.
Plastic in delivery.
But she was in fact a British weekly comic for girls, which ran from 1966 to 69, I found out. It was marketed as the comic for girls.
It's part of their merchandising.
Who love television.
Pictures. Yes, that's right.
It actually said on the cover, for girls who love TV.
Isn't that great? I have in my Barbie collection a reworked Barbie made over to look like Lady Penelope.
No.
She looks plastic.
Really?
Plastic surgery on Barbie. Can you believe it?
It worked. Yes.
She does look Lady Penelope-ish.
Does she have the eyes?
She's got the eyes. She's got the cigarette holder.
It's not correct, is it?
But you know, it's not Lady Penelope though.
Oh, I was right. Lady Penelope Crichton - Ward.
Yeah, there you go.
Don't you love those hyphenated English names, especially when it's part of a super marination lady? And her early life, apparently, she was born Christmas Eve, 2039.
My God.
So she's in the future.
Well, it's all set in the future.
Now, she was a 26-year-old when she first appeared on the scene and was the daughter of the aristocrat Sir Hugh Crichton Ward and his wife, Amelia.
You know quite a lot about this, don't you?
I really quite
You've
liked it.
You've made a forensic study of Lady Penelope.
I know, it was a bit disturbing.
It's surprising how many people have told me they've had a thing for Lady Penelope, because she is only a doll, after all. She's not
how
even real.
Dare you.
I know. Well... But then there,
the doll fits.
There is that particular fetish where people fall in love with dolls.
I don't know about that.
I saw it on Foxtel and some one of the channels there.
Must be true.
And
then.
It was true. There were these people that buy life size dolls and have relationships with them.
Now, did you know that she actually was a world renowned supermodel as well?
Yes, she's everything.
And she went to an exclusive boarding school, of course.
That
she was elected as head girl. She finishing schools in Switzerland, naturally. And she became skilled at skiing, as you mentioned before.
In fact.
A linguist.
And was anything she doesn't do?
She could speak German, French and Italian, just like a native French or Italian. Yes, she's very high society, but she worked as a chief operative of the Federal Agents Bureau. Of course, that's how she first met Jeff Tracy, who was the founder of the International Rescue. Now, he invited her to become one of their agents and based in London, of course, but she had to get help, and that was where Parker came along. Pretty much FAB1, she was FAB1 with her iconic six-wheeled pink Rolls-Royce, and that was her trademark, was the pink Rolls, I think. But it was also had bulletproof glass and enough room for her water skis. Because she loved water skiing too. Very sporty person.
Multi-talented.
Multifaceted.
Lady Penelope. And probably, I like when Lady Penelope made a brief cameo in an Ab Fab episode.
It was cool.
Jennifer was going under. And for her little operation, because her acupuncture needle had...
It was called
lost in
Hospital.
It was very,
it was
very
called
good.
Hospital. Now, of course...
We've got Parker. We've got Brains working
there's also
on the solution.
Brains is actually doing the research tonight. I've had him in. I've dusted off dust off his fiberglass.
I used to find him unusually attractive.
It's the nerd thing.
I think so.
And the physical similarity.
These days in the 21st century seems to be quite the thing, the nerd look.
Yeah, the nerd look. Now, there's also an Australian connection with Lady Penelope. Did you know that she owned a property in a place, sheep station?
She must be so rich.
It was called Bonga Bonga. And it was set...
Bonga Bonga.
Yes. Australian outback, where it had 200,007 sheep. It had an open plan lounge.
Did we ever see that in the Thunderbirds?
I remember it.
No.
It looked dry.
Very dry.
Very dry, and the trees looked a bit
100 artisans put that together, my girl.
Lots of glue.
Lots of glue.
And, of course, Aloysius Nosey Parker.
Lots of going
Stop
down to
being Nosey Parker.
Regis and bringing back
sand. Now, he was born... in May 2003, actually, from a long line of Cockney retainers who've looked after the British aristocracy for centuries. There you go. So that was Aloysius Parker, or Nosey Parker. Don't be so nosy.
He was actually based on one of the original business partners of AP Films.
Really?
Yes, because I saw an interview where he was being interviewed and he looks and sounds just like Parker, except in human form.
He didn't have strings that we know of.
No, not that I could see.
Look, it's...
But then his English, they're pretty kinky.
Well, look...
maybe something was tied up.
Maybe something will be tied up in a moment.
And gagged.
We will be back shortly, and we've got more music and more news and some special announcements to make too tonight on Southwind Squeam with Vesco and Sonia on Joy 94.9.
Hi, my name is Gareth Edwards. I'm the director of Monsters. You're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
It is indeed. It is Sci-Fi and Squeam, and this is Joy 94. Where do we get up to? I mean, we are going to have to probably move along shortly because there's other announcements to make. And that was the theme from Stingray, brought again by the wonderful Prague Philharmonic Orchestra. And I must say,
Thank God for the Prague Philharmonic Orchestra.
I know. I don't think we would be able to do the show without them. I'll have to email them later.
That was delivered with verve, vitality.
And live.
Live here in the Stardust Studios Joy.
Yes.
Up on level 9.
You were going to say something about Stingray.
Somewhere in Bourke Street.
Weren't you?
Yes, I was, darling.
Yes, what was it?
Well, it was, a highly sophisticated combat submarine, Sonia, built for speed and manoeuvrability.
And Marina, wasn't she lovely?
Marina.
Yeah, I'm turning your mic off now.
There's a beautiful song, Don't Get Me Going.
Does anybody else know the song?
Aquamarina. Stingray was the flagship, Sonia, for the World Aquanaut Society Patrol, otherwise known as WASP, a 21st century security organization based at Marineville in the year 2065. This is what I like about the Anderson stuff, you know. Yes. It was so futuristic.
It was.
Yet not threatening. It wouldn't keep the kiddies up at night with nightmares. Not really. Because because it had that safety of, like, that cartoon-like, so you know that
it's
fake.
And they were going to save the world.
Yet somehow,
you know,
real enough to suspend disbelief for
half an hour.
Suspend was the word. Thank you.
Now we're going to have to leave behind our super marination discussion, which is a bit sad because when you start thinking about them, you realise, you know, the closeness of them. You just want to reach out and touch one.
Mm.
Yeah.
I feel that fiberglass warmth. That fiberglass warmth in your hands.
Mm. And the strings and the solenoid beating in their chest.
Mm.
But I digress because as the world turns and it spins, this planet, we are part of it. We're all part of it here on Sci-Fi and Squeam, and it is great to have Vasco here, myself here, of course,
of
pulling
course.
The strings.
Naturally.
Got some wonderful news, and maybe some people have already heard, but for those of you who haven't, the wonderful and exciting news that came a couple of days ago, 16th of October, and that was the announcement from one of our favourite superheroes, anti-superheroes as the case may be. Yes, it was the self-outing of actor Zachary Quinto, a.k.a. Heroes, the TV series Heroes, antithesis of all good things, Gabriel Grey or Sylar, but also now as a rebooted younger and tougher version of our favourite Vulcan, impenetrable and very analytical Dr. Spock.
I would have said inscrutable.
From 2009.
Inscrutable.
All right, well, I wrote this.
Impenetrable. I'm sure he was penetrable sometimes.
Yeah, with Zoe Saldana he was.
Was he?
Now, yes.
Oh, yes.
Uhuru.
They were having a little
thing. An intergalactic thing.
I've got the 3 Star Trek dolls in my Barbie collection.
Good for you.
I thought you'd be
what
thrilled.
A show off.
And I felt pressed to share that
with
you.
Yeah, thanks. Now, Zachary Quinto, he grew up in Pittsburgh and he began performing and studying there as a kid. But what started as a hobby, obviously acting he means, evolved into a vocation. He's best known as Sylar, of course, the superpowered psychopathic serial killer on the NBC smash hit of Heroes.
I like the sound of that.
And in 2009, he was in the blockbuster Star Trek reboot franchise directed by Lost's J.J. Abrams. He lives in L.A. Pretty much what he has said on his blog website in the last couple of days is being very moving. And so this is a quote from that. When he found out, or I'll just read it. When I found out that Jamie Rodmire killed himself, I felt deeply troubled. But when I found out that Jamie Rodmire had made an It Gets Better video only months before taking his own life, I felt indescribable despair. He goes on to say, I also made an It Gets Better video too. In the wake of the senseless and tragic gay teen suicides that were sweeping the nation, this is in the US, and in light of Jamie's death, it became clear to me in an instant that living a gay life without publicly acknowledging it is simply not enough to make any significant contribution to the immense work that lies ahead on the road to complete equality. He goes on to say our society needs to recognise the unstoppable momentum toward unequivocal civil equality for every gay, lesbian, bisexual and transgendered citizen of this country. Again, he refers obviously to the US. He goes on to say as well, we are at the precipice of great transformation within our culture and government, and I believe in the power of intention to change the landscape of our society, and it is my intention to live an authentic life of compassion and integrity. Now I can only hope to serve as the same catalyst for even one other person in this world. That, I believe, is all that we can ask for ourselves and of each other. I think those are beautiful words from a very brave and a very intelligent individual, not just as an actor, but as a writer and a producer that he is. Zachary Quinto, Sci-Fi and Squeam salutes you in the Vulcan tradition, and we say congratulations on your stand and commitment and coming out. And I know that many of your fans out there who are listening, hopefully, will also feel very much the same. We wish you luck and kia kaha to you, and you've proven that you can boldly go. Very few have gone before.
Where very few would dare.
This would dare.
Definitely is going to have some economic repercussion on his career, the parts that he'll get, because really...
Or it may not. I mean, he's supposed to be in 2012's the sequel by J.J. Abrams for Star Trek.
That will happen for continuity's sake.
Yes.
But I really, from what I understand, it still is quite a homophobic town, Hollywood.
Yeah. And it's really, all underground and yes, closeted.
Exactly. And if you come out in such an open way, it really is going to impact on the type of... That's why Ellen went into a talk show. Because, hey, presto, hello, everyone, I'm a lesbian, and look what happened. Banned, canned.
Yeah, no, she had to talk.
So she had to have a little talk.
To have a bit of a talk.
Well, it was a bit of a time in the wilderness for her there after she came out. So,
but that's
it
the reality, isn't it?
It is a brave
very
thing.
Brave. And I think a lot of people who are also involved in fanfic, who for ages, for decades now, have been going on about Dr. Spock and is their relationship in the fictional online world of Spock and Kirk. And it's pretty... interesting and unusual that in the real world, a real person who plays this fictional character is actually gay. I think there's a lot of people going off
on
that one.
It will be very interesting to see if they make the Spock character bisexual or something.
He wants to. Abrams wants to, but I believe the studios are still saying, let's keep it straight, even though it's set in the future and anything could happen.
Yeah,
the fluidity.
They're obviously trying to appeal to as broad a demographic as possible.
Broad's the word. And not in a good way. Well, look, we're going to have to wrap up shortly.
Is that broad demographic?
We'll be back in a shortly time.
A
shortly time. This is Sonia and Vasco, and you're listening to coming to the end of another episode of Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9. Returning here, Sci-Fi and Squeam. Yes, congratulations, Alex. And we're just going to wrap up for the evening for Sci-Fi and Squeam, because next week it's all about... Armageddon. Armageddon is coming. It's the Armageddon Expo, so you can go to armageddonexpo.com.au, or you can head to our Facebook, facebook.com/sci-fi-and-squeam, or head to the blog address, which is sci-fi-and-squeam.blogspot.com.
Where you've got that lovely picture of Kirk?
That's right. The fictional fanfic version of the lovers, if they were lovers,
I'd
Spock
love
and Kirk.
To print that out and hang that up on the wall. It's fantastic, that little...
So, October the 22nd to the 23rd of this month, of course, that's next weekend, is when Armageddon's on at the Melbourne Exhibition Centre. So R.M. Radcliffe and myself, Mr. Robert Radcliffe, will return on the 25th of next week, next Tuesday night. And we're going to bring you, hopefully, as many entertaining little sound bites, vox pops and interviews with people like Nicholas Brendan from Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh, wow.
Argam Dashi and Robin Dunn from Sanctuary.
No,
but it's more, The seventh Doctor Who, Sylvester McCoy.
My God. Mon Dieu.
Oh, dear. Robert Picardo from Star Trek Voyager and Stargate Atlantis.
C'est fantastique.
The Lone Gunman from the Chris Carter-produced cult TV show that was
incredible.
Mark Shepherd from BSG. And Supernatural and Doctor Who, and plenty of other comic artists like Fred Van Lente from Marvel and Frank Cho and heaps more.
My ears are bleeding.
Yes, I noticed that earlier, but I didn't want to say anything because it's equal opportunity and all that.
Well, that's right.
And that's next week on Sci-Fi and Squeam. And up next we've got Salt and Pepper with Pete Dillon and Serena Ryan on Joy 94.9. But I just want to say... thank you so much for coming into the studio,
Vasco. I always like to come in and play with you. It's so much fun.
And I'm dreaming of a Lady Penelope for Christmas in my stocking.
Are you?
Yeah, I am.
Well, we might be able to do something about that.
Something with a bit of, I don't know,
something
fiberglass?
With a long cigarette holder.
Just a long cigarette holder. Mm. No, we don't condone that.
Well, it was 1960.
It was.
Everyone was doing it back then.
Now I'm just going to go out with a little bit of a track here, and it is Legends of the Superheroes, because there's going to be a lot of superheroes coming up next week on Sci-Fi and Scream. Oh. Thank you again, Vesco, for your super marination.
Does the cavalcade of sci-fi ever stop with this show?
I hope not.
I don't think so.
All right. Stay tuned to Joy 94.9. Thanks for listening.
God help us in the future.
Sci-Fi and Scream was synthesized and squashed into shape by Sonia. For more information, visit our Facebook page, Sci-Fi and Scream, or check out joy.org.au.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.